Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Police in Calexico have been asking for the community's help in finding the man accused of trying to kill his brother-in-law. Authorities say the man pulled out a gun, and before he could shoot the brother-in-law, the gun was taken out of his hand. The man escaped out a window before being arrested. This season of celebrating also comes with loss of stress for many people. For many, financial stress might ruin the holiday cheer. Others may fear possible exposure of getting sick if they join in on the holiday festivities. Go to YumaDailyNews.com to see some calming tips information. About 340 emergency calls have been answered by Yuma Fire this past week. Yuma Fire informs locals that unpermitted fires are unlawful and result in many unnecessary fire department responses. The Grinch is at it again. Cops in North Texas have been searching for the green gumpy guy who stole a statue of baby Jesus. The statue was taken from a shopping area. Surveillance footage has been posted to social media, asking for the public's help in identifying the man. He could face charges of vandalism. That's the latest from the YumaDailyNews.com newsroom. I'm Kendra White.
From green to brown. Back in 1 minute with your food chain question of the day.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
German authorities are preventing farmers from adequately fertilizing crop in order to comply with the European Union's efforts to combat climate change. The reduction is expected to significantly reduce the crop yields for German farmers. German news outlet Bild reported that a third of the total usable farmland in the North Rhine-Westphalia falls under this new restriction. Farms affected by the German fertilizer ban will be eligible to apply for government assistance. Question: do you think U.S. taxpayers should or should not fight climate change by preventing farmers from fertilizing their crops?
We gather together in communities across the nation to remember and honor, to celebrate and support, to light the night. Join us as we lift our lanterns high in order to move toward a world free of blood cancers. Join us as we light the night for a loved one. Join us. We are the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Our mission is to cure leukemia, lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease, and myeloma. Our aim is to improve the quality of life of patients and their families. Join us. We are LLS. And when we walk, cancer runs. Join your community and help bring light to the darkness of cancer. Join us as we light the night. Find your local event at lightthenight.org. That's lightthenight.org.
After I got out of the Marine Corps, coming back home, it was just a mental breakdown for me. I was on the verge of giving up. That chapter, that season in my life was over. Now what? Who was I? That's what I kept asking myself. The pressure to have it all together, to heal, to quiet down the monsters inside, it was too much. I lost it. I had heard about the Wounded Warrior Project. I had seen the logo and that visual of a warrior carrying another warrior. The programs that the Wounded Warrior Project offers, it's not just the veteran themselves. It's their whole family. It brings it all together. We have scars that we carry, and just because the scars are there doesn't mean that we're any less than what we were. Right now, I'm the best version that I ever have been of myself. I can embrace the brokenness.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit WoundedWarriorProject.org/notalone.
There's a whistle up above, people push Good morning, Yuma. This is Chamber Chatter, only the good stuff from the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Kimberly Kale. I'm the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, we have Russ Clark.
Good morning.
Who is giving me side eye already this morning. What was that all about?
Just watch and see where you're going.
I'm sitting in a chair in a radio studio. There's not really a lot of places for me to go. It's only so big in here. But it is big enough. We, of course, have a guest this morning. And this morning we have John Perry with Imaginary Friends and Print Zoom. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Kim and Russ.
Okay,
how
well,
dare
awake.
You wake me up like that?
I'm still sleeping.
I've been up for hours.
Where did you get a blue jacket? Don't you always have to wear an obnoxious colored jacket or something?
I'm a little too thin for the obnoxious colored jacket, and I've been working with a tailor to create a new obnoxious tailored jacket.
Okay.
So eventually I'll get one. It's going to be orange, and then I'll get a yellow and a cyan and probably a magenta one to match. For the time being, I got to go with just what I can get off the rack.
Get off the rack right now. You know? What are you doing? Was losing weight intentional?
No, it was a side effect.
Of?
Of walking a greyhound.
Was it buying the greyhound intentional?
The greyhound was intentional.
Okay. Yes. Well, there you go.
The energy of the greyhound was not necessarily intentional. The 6 to 15 miles a day walking it was not intentional.
It was a surprise to you.
That was a little bit of a shock, yes.
Wow. We could always trade it in for a Labrador.
I have a pocket lab, too.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
What's a pocket lab?
They're a little bit smaller than a regular lab.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they don't quite fit in the pocket.
I was just going to say, because my dogs are pocket size. I'm like...
No, a pocket lab just is a little bit shorter. You know, she's 60 pounds.
Okay, well, yeah.
And so versus a lab, which is normally like 80 to 100.
All four of my dogs added together don't get 60 pounds, so...
So yeah, the greyhound's 60 pounds, the lab's 60 pounds, the greyhound's a foot taller than the lab.
So doing all that walking, you still have time to do work? You still have businesses to run and everything?
Oh yeah.
You can get all that worked out?
Well, that's the thing. The greyhound, the reason I have to walk her is because she wakes up at 4 something in the morning.
Of course.
And so then that's when I have to wake up, and then we go out.
Which is why he's waking us up this morning.
And it's good to know that somebody's at least running that household.
And she knows it, too. Yeah. She's asleep now.
And you've shaved the mustache.
Movember's over, so it's come a little bit clean again and, you know, raised the a little bit of awareness that I could while
So, Russ, you know about his mustache? Do you know why he does the mustache?
Well, then Movember, yeah.
Okay, so, but explain to everybody, because not everybody else is in here to really
okay.
know.
So, I've been an advocate of the Movember Foundation for over a decade now, raising money for male-related cancer and mental illness. Both of them I have a strong connection to because I am a cancer survivor, and I am been diagnosed with depression and since my early 20s. And so I know that there's challenges associated with them. And so this organization wants to help eradicate those things since men's mental illness leads to more suicides, leads to more acts of unexplained violence.
Really?
Than the counterparts when women have them. And also, you know, women have had this absolutely brilliant marketing campaign with Save the Tatas and Going Pink for the and everything. Men don't really have that same mojo in relating in their related cancer. It's just not as, for lack of a better term, as sexy as Save the Tatas when it comes to male-related cancerous issues. Yeah. And so these things kind of get pushed away because if it's not somewhat, I don't want to say glamorous, if it's not something that is kind of...
Glamorous?
Yes, I know, glamorous cancer. It can happen.
It's not macho.
It's not macho, and it's just not something that you don't actively want to talk about those kind of cancers. You know, it's not a benign subject matter such as colon cancer or something like that. It's kind of neutral. It's just one of those areas where it's like, do you really want to talk about that part of the male anatomy and what can happen up there and what? No, most people don't. They don't. It kind of gets shuffled underway, and that's where it's at. So during November, the Movember Foundation encourages their members to shave cleanly on November 1st and grow a mustache through the month of November. And usually I put it to the chamber members to vote on the style of mustache that I'll grow that year, and I'll grow it. And then people ask me, why are you growing a mustache? Because most months out of the year, I'm not wearing a mustache.
Right.
And it gives me the opportunity to talk about it. And then we put out there that we're soliciting some funds or events to go to the websites to donate and hopefully raise a little bit of money and awareness for it as well.
Right. Which is really cool.
Thank you. I think so.
I'm like, last year I think was the first time. Because my first year here, I was here in the first November, but I don't think I was.
Well, it was 2020 still.
Yeah.
And we just reshut down again.
It was 2020, and it was things were kind of going on when I first got here. But last year I remember it, and this year I remember it.
Yes.
I voted last year. I didn't vote this year.
It's okay.
But I knew the mustache was coming. I'll vote next year.
Yeah. I had to look up mustache extensions because the overwhelming majority wanted me to have like a handlebar mustache. And yeah. I knew I wasn't going to be able to grow that out in a month.
Right.
Okay. You could get a weave.
There isn't really a mustache weave for something like that.
Start that.
So I ended up near like a Tom Selleck or a Burt Reynolds disc yeah. level of something, and I was able to get that put together.
Thank God it wasn't an Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin.
You know, let's not sensationalize the negative. Let's focus on the positive. The tramp.
I was gonna say, you know, and I know a lot of men that probably couldn't grow a mustache just in the month of November.
But no one noticed.
Well, exactly. That would be my poor husband too. Yeah, you know, he could, but no one. He does not grow mustache as well, but that's okay.
I can't grow a goatee, so
that's, you can't grow a goatee. Okay, well, so yeah, so it's a trade off.
Yeah, I can grow the sideburns. I can grow the chops. I can grow the mustache, but the goatee gets patchy. So I just don't grow a goatee. I learned that in my early 20s as well.
Well, and now the big bushy beards are in.
So that's why you're not a beatnik.
Sure.
I'm like, where'd that come from?
Trying to think who wears goatees, but yeah.
They're still popular. They're still pretty popular, right. Exactly. So, I mean, you do a lot of things for awareness in the community, and
I try.
I know you do. And that's actually what I probably know you the best for, outside of course, you do some of our printing and stuff at the chamber.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. So what exactly, I mean, that's what you had going on, but you had a lot of things going on this summer as well, right?
Yes. So this past summer, we have a great relationship with the Southwest Technical Education District of Yuma, also known as STEDI. Mm-hmm. And we've had interns there. For a few years, and this past summer we're fortunate enough to have three bright young interns coming from their coding and animation program come to work. And with that kind of quantity, I didn't want to just do a hypothetical project, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's build a website for a fictitious sewing company,
right?
You know, with that much time and that many people, I thought, let's actually do something that makes an impact. And I put it out to, again, chamber members of and the business community of, Let's do something. Let's make it a real project. Now, we knew this was not going to be the, you know, cutting edge technological breakthrough project. So Southwest Contractors Association approached us though and talked about this idea that they had, and I bought into it. And then when the interns came on board, tasked it to them, and they did a great job. And together we came up with this concept for HireYuma.com, and HireYuma is a local job board that is currently in finalizing beta testing. It will be a free service to the members of the Southwest Contractors Association. Mm-hmm. Since the pandemic, we've had a very difficult job in the trades industries, and a lot of industries in general, of having getting qualified employees and getting the information out there. And part of it is just job listings getting muddled in certain ways, or, you know, it costs an arm and a leg, it seems, to get them in certain online job boards or in other areas.
It's very expensive.
It's extremely expensive. One of our clients was a national agriculture job board, and just getting people to put up resumes and whatnot was also challenging, because there was still subsidizing for the unemployment and whatnot as well. So our goal was to make it affordable or free or complimentary as a perk for being a member of the Southwest Contractors Association, so that they can post these. So that'll do two things. One, it will hopefully alert the people in the area what's available. It'll also collect resumes from people looking for jobs in specific industries that the Southwest Contractors Association serves, so they can have almost a resume pool to pull from, and members can go and log in and look at these resumes. So maybe they don't even need to post a job, but if they see something in somebody that they want to invite in for an interview, they can do that without even having a job posted.
You need to take a break, young lady.
Okay, well, I guess we'll get back to this after the break.
Okay.
You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Pick it up every morning from the long clock's warning. Take the Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
It is a quiet day today, and our weather stays sunny, dry, and mild through our Christmas weekend. Temperatures a little bit warmer this afternoon, 70 the high today. It is cool at night, low 40s, but getting even warmer tomorrow, 72. Friday, sunny, 73. The weekend, temperatures in the mid-70s, both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Welcoming you back to appointment day at the Martinez house. Raul Martinez looking stressed about scheduling a colon cancer screening.
Anyone 45 or older should have this booked yesterday. The procrastination is disgraceful. This man needs to focus.
From your lips to his ears, Stephen A. He's typing away solid form. He just pledged to get screened on takeahealthystand.org.
Uh-oh, now Raul's looking at a cell phone. This is unacceptable. Is he watching a cute video right now?
Oh, it's the one where the cat thinks he's people.
That cat is not a person. It's preposterous.
Focus, Raul. Yes, he's finished the form. He's made a telemedicine appointment next Tuesday, 9:30. All he's got to do is hit send.
Look out. His eyes are wandering.
Not back to the stress ball thingy. But Raul uses his other hand to hit send.
Stand up to cancer and Optum want to help you reduce your risk for cancer. Visit takeahealthystand.org.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
After spending years in foster care, Lexi worried that she and her brother were too old to be adopted. Thankfully, the siblings were adopted, with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I love teenagers. To see how brave Lexi was and how she opened herself up to being in a family, all of a sudden, she's holding my hand and calling me mom. It was really special.
Every child, no matter their age, deserves to grow up in a safe, permanent home.
Children at every age experience challenges. Teenagers are more complex than young children, but in the best ways.
You're never too old for family. Learn how you can help children still waiting to be adopted from foster care at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU, only the good stuff from the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And of course, we have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ. And we have John Perry with Imaginary Friends and Print Zoom.
Good morning.
And we were talking about the job board that you did this summer before the break with study, some interns from study for the Southwest Contractors. And so you were, one of the things that you brought up was that people are able to post their resume to it. And I love that idea because if you haven't helped someone look for a job online lately, one of the things that I've found a lot of places do now is you upload your resume and then they still have you complete a full job application. It's a lot of work.
It can be.
And so did you simplify that on this website?
Yes. This is a very 1.0 version of the website where, of course, we have the standard contact information. And then you can upload your resume, I think, in a PDF format. And then if you want to type it all out, there's a huge text box there. Or if you want to bring certain things to focus or put in a cover letter, there's a huge text box where it can be there. And so you can type it out. The main point of it was to make it easier. You could also choose industries you're looking for. So if you want to work in HVAC or you want to work in mechanic or if you want to work in electrical, you can check those boxes. And therefore, it kind of gets flagged that there's interest here for those who are, you know, so then the local electricians who are members, the local HVAC companies that are members, they can look at these people and go like, oh, these are the people who might be qualified.
Right.
Kind of going through it. And so, yeah, and put it all. And that's what we kind of put together. One of the interns did the logo and some of the visuals. And then two other interns did the back end, figuring it out, putting together the forms and entries, and again, making it very simple. And you got to be, I don't think you have to be an account holder to post a resume. You just have to be an account holder to log in and view the resumes and post jobs.
Got it.
So to try, again, we try to make it as easy to interact with as possible with as least amount of barriers to go forward. The main thing is that 99% of this site was done by steady students, two 17-year-olds and an 18-year-old.
Yeah, which they probably know more about it than I do anyway. So I think the older I get, the less technologically advanced I am.
It's surprising how quickly stuff is coming out.
And I lose track.
And it's hard to keep adjusting to all of it.
And Google sends me all these notices, and I'm like, really? Again? But that's okay. I mean, it needs to keep moving forward, and I will do my best. How technologically advanced are you, Russ?
Not very.
Not very.
I understand that there's a lot of great technology out there, and if they show me how to use it, I like it, but I'm not one of the nerds I'd like to be.
I'm a nerd.
You are?
I'm a geek. Yeah, I'm an absolute geek.
That used to be a bad thing. It's not anymore.
Oh, no. Nerds, we told...
They're doing well.
We told my son growing up, because somebody called him a nerd, like in junior high or whatever, and I said, don't worry about it. Nerds rule the world. I'm like, it's actually a good thing.
I think they do. They're not afraid of it anymore.
Yeah. I'm like, because they outsmart all the rest of us.
With your business, the technology is all computerization mostly just CAD/CAM and graphics, that kind of thing?
Graphics and, I mean, we do use a lot of machinery. I mean, even in the printing side, it's a lot of machinery.
So. Yeah, there is some printing.
We still, though, have pen and papers because it's sometimes quicker to sketch a rough. And the rough may be something I can see three steps ahead of my head versus what it's on paper. That's still a starting point.
I understand that.
Taking notes on things, putting stuff together. There's still a lot of visualness to it. Just how it's produced or the steps that take to go involved with it vary.
So you branch down into animation at all? Is that you?
We don't. We use the animation students because they don't have a study doesn't have a graphic design program.
Okay.
Yet some of the principles and some of the tools have overlapping capabilities, and so we walked this one intern through how to take the knowledge they had from one program and apply certain aspects of it to another program, and then we gave them a path to understand what makes a good logo, color theory behind it, vectorization so that it will scale without pixelating, usability factor, reproduction factor.
I didn't think about that. Just make, you know, so it can go to a large billboard or down to a business card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Newstalk 560 K-Blue logo, mm-hmm. you know, that is simplistic enough. If it's in the right format, you could scale it to put on the side of the building.
Right.
And it will look just as sharp as it does on the head of a 2-inch sticker.
Right.
Not only that, but it embroiders well. That's one of the things that I now pay a lot more attention to.
Yeah. The certain thickness of the elements and what can be reproduced. And if you converted it to a one color format for tchotchkes or other promotional items, that it's screen printing, because screen printing in one color is so much less expensive than full color or multicolor. How does it look? Does it contrast? If you have two colors that are similar to each other, when you go to grayscale, does it become just one giant gray? Is there a color blindness to it?
How did you learn that? Is that for you trial and error, or did you go to a graphic school?
I did not go to a graphic school. I actually started teaching myself web design when I was a senior at Cibola High.
Okay.
It was very much a nerd thing to do at the time because nobody, this is in the mid-90s before the dot-com boom, before the dot-com bust.
Before you had a cell phone even.
Oh, several years before I had a cell phone.
I
was dialing in on AOL to get on the internet at 2400 baud.
Well, we had that's what I'm thinking. I'm going back. Mid-90s. I mean, so that would have been past my Coco Tandy computer. I would have.
So my first computer was a clone. They called it a clone, IBM clone.
Yes, I had a Gateway 2000 as my first computer. It was in the living room, and then I pulled it to the bedroom and started tinkering around, unbuilt it, rebuilt it. And yeah, so I taught myself web. And then during college, I initially went for computer systems engineering, which it sounds a lot loftier, you know, than what it was, because I wanted to make video games. And then I hit discrete mathematics.
Don't we all?
Oh, okay. And then I hit discrete mathematics and thermodynamics and realized it was not my bag.
Okay.
And then I pivoted to architecture, and I really, really enjoyed architecture. And I was good. The thing is, though, I was at least self-aware to know that I was good and not great. And there was an upper and lower division in the undergraduate program. And so I was at that point where, even though I'd already spent a couple of years in engineering, I spent some time in architecture and I had to apply for upper division. I realized I was going against not just the other good people, but the great people and the people that were there that didn't make it in the previous year and were now applying with more skills and whatnot.
What makes the architectural great in your mind? Is it design?
It was design.
And that's artistic type stuff.
It's functional.
But you get that.
It's functional though. it's not just artistic, it's not just creativity, it's functional.
There's You're talking about traffic flow or whatever.
Well, not just that. I mean, there's a great story about Frank Lloyd Wright and the Falling Water. I don't know if you've ever seen this.
I love Falling Water.
So there's a path to the mother-in-law suite at Falling Water where there is like a giant rock, and then 20 feet down on the other side, there's a giant rock, and it's holding up this giant slab stone roof, but they're not parallel to each other. They're down. There's one in left, and they and the construction crew refused to remove the supports on the other side because they thought it would fall because it wasn't perfectly, you know, there wasn't a pillar perfectly placed on each side all the way down. Yeah. Frank got there with his cane and started bashing it and knocked them all down, and it held because he had that down. It's not just the aesthetic, it's the math behind it and understanding the load and the bounce.
You get into the engineering part.
The engineering side of it. Yet the architect has to understand all of that and have it, how it all balances so that there's structural integrity.
But Frank Lloyd Wright was also looking for a visual, which he could see, and that's in 3D.
Oh, yeah. Not everybody else could see it, though. And also have the innate math ability because he didn't sit down there and figure out load calculations. He just knew. He was just a savant like that. He just understood. And how it would work and where it would work. Like Gammage Auditorium in Phoenix, that was originally made for Baghdad.
Really?
Yes, and that was supposed to be a giant moat around it, not a giant parking lot.
And it is a giant parking lot.
It is. And so there's a lot of really fascinating aspects in that regard. And so I went to I switched majors and I got a degree in business and art history. And through that time, though, I was working in web design or graphic design. I actually redesigned the student ASASU logo when I was there for the student government. I then went in freelance for a while. And then, I moved back to Yuma and started my companies. And
once you start the company, well, we need to take a break, but when we get back, you know, once you start the company, you have to focus on what is going to make the bills be paid too. And I'm just curious how you get to that, whether, you know, and what is it that you have to give up and what is it that you can do because there's a demand.
Exactly.
And it's going to be that. You need to take a break.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Would you look at the time? It's tax time. You already know H&R Block does taxes, but here's what you may not know when you file with H&R Block. Like how you can get expert help in person or virtually. Plus, our tax pros average 10 years of experience. You can even request to work with the same tax pro every year, and your biggest possible refund is always guaranteed. No one offers more ways to help with your taxes than H&R Block. At H&R Block, help is here.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve.
I'm Danny Schaefer, lifestyle content creator. My little brother had these piercing blue eyes, like the ocean. He was just 33 when we lost him to an accidental opioid overdose.
My name is Darren Waller. I had it made, living my dream playing professional football. Then my life hit rock bottom. I had an accidental opioid overdose.
I felt this shame, this stigma. Everyone knew, but no one talked about it.
I felt completely isolated. My family didn't even know. I refused to stand by and watch without doing everything I can to change the stigma.
If you know someone taking opioids, have a safety plan and talk about it.
It can happen to anyone you know or love. It happened to me.
I'm sharing Scott's story because reversing the silence can help save lives.
Let's help put a stop to opioid overdoses being a leading cause of accidental death in America.
Be prepared. Learn how at reversesilence.org.
think you may have a gambling problem? Help is just an online 10-question quiz away. Take it today at problemgambling.az.gov, because knowing if you might have a problem is the first step toward solving it.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And as always, at the bottom of the hour, we do have a few announcements. The biggest announcement right now is, we're done with events for 2022, but we are already looking forward to 2023. We have our first Good Morning Yuma coming up on January 12th. It will be out at AWC, it's going to be at the Yuma Civic Center. So you see, even sometimes I get confused where they're at, but we're just trying to make sure that all of our members get a little bit of that chamber love. So it is at Yuma Civic Center. We only have 6 next year, so odd months only, second Thursday. So make sure that your calendar is marked. We are still selling season tickets for both the Good Morning Yuma and the member mixers. So they are on our website. The other thing that we are starting to sell on our website is tickets for the annual dinner, which is Friday, February 3rd. That is at the Four Points by Sheraton. We're doing the chance auction once again. So we're also looking for raffle prizes. So be sure you mark your calendars. Good Morning Yuma, again, second Thursday, every other month starting in January. So they're going to be the odd months, January, March, May, and so on. Member Mixers, fourth Wednesday of every month except for October. And that is because we will be having our big Mega Mixer Halloween weekend again. And then, of course, our annual dinner, February 3rd. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody in 2023. And, of course, we have Russ Clark, and we see him quite a bit at the events. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. And John Perry from Imaginary Friends and Print Zoom, I think you're at, like, every event.
No, I wish.
It does. Are you okay?
Yeah, I think so.
I know you're at virtually every Good Morning Yuma, and I mean, you're at a lot of events. You're very involved with the chamber.
I try to be.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a good networking opportunity.
Well, thank you.
I don't go because I'm on air when you
for
do
Good
the
Morning
breakfast.
Yuma, but yeah, you're the good mixers, morning, and you're at a lot of the other things, yeah, and of course, you will be at the annual dinner. So
I will be.
I know you will. So at least I'm hard to have a chance auction without an auctioneer. So. So yeah.
I like the abuse. It's good.
Well, I can abuse you every week on Chamber Chatter. It kind of works out that way.
Yeah, it does.
That's why you look forward to Wednesdays so much.
There
huh?
you go.
You know, I'm going to come in.
Set me straight.
So anyway, John, we were talking about how you got to where you are, what you had to, because I mean, I kind of see your question.
Yeah, and I was kind of questioning, you know, you've got all these things you can do. How do you decide what you're going to do? And I'm sure some of that has to come with what the business community is requesting. What do they want? I know you do advertising flyers and all.
Well, that's the thing is, I was in such a survival mode for a period of time after I moved back to Yuma. I took care of my family's business on the day-to-day business as I started Imaginary Friends and growing that out. And a great story about that is Donna George from the Peanut Patch. Mm-hmm. We made her catalog from this black and white text copied catalog to a full color, had products. It finally made people could see what it is that they were ordering before that they were ordering. It was mm-hmm. her first color catalog.
Right.
And at the time, this is how it was. I just bought a new vehicle because my car died. And I actually bought a new vehicle. So every time she come in, I'm like, this is another truck payment. Everything was a truck payment. So this was a truck payment. That was a truck payment. Funny. It's all about truck payments.
You're hand to mouth though, right?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. And it came from multiple things. And it took me years, and I mean years, to get over certain trains of thought. I thought that if I hired somebody, I was training a future competitor.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because I've been around Yuma long enough to know that there are certain industries that people get a little territorial about, and so there's not an abundance of work. There's a scarcity of work, and I feel that it took me a while to get to the point where there is an abundance of work. What works for me may not work for somebody else, and a client that works for somebody else may not work for me, and goes around. There's plenty of work in Yuma in the industries that I survive. I also realize that most people don't want to have the diversity of skill set that I have. most people are very good at graphic design, or they're very good at web design and programming. They don't have a background in both, because it does take similar yet different disciplines in order to go those. And as industries evolved, what used to be just web became online presence and online marketing. So there's social media, there's audio and video. And
that stuff's changing rapidly.
Rapidly. Well, some of it does and some of it doesn't. I go back. I mean, one reason why I'm involved with Steady is because I'm a huge proponent of CTE. Because I go back to high school, I was in radio and television. I was in drafting. I was in electronics. I was actually a national officer for the organization. So I strongly believe in the product of it. I just happened to develop a very unique set of skills. I also happened to come back to Yuma during the middle of the dot-com bust, when there was an abundance of talent that wasn't getting hired because of the gluttony. So I couldn't also move to San Francisco or Phoenix again, or because the jobs were not there when I moved back to Yuma after being in the hospital a couple of months. So so I did all the skills that I had to fulfill what the clients needed, because they liked this idea of a one-stop shop. And then that kind of became, I had to grow new skills. I had to understand other things such as analytics, and that helped bridge more things. So it got to the point where we did too much. And so now we are back refocusing to just core things such as brand ideology and management, online presence, and special event and engagement. And that's kind of how we came full circle with that.
Okay, but at one time, you were just looking for anything to stay busy.
Anything to stay busy and make that truck payment that I had the skill set to do.
Yeah. doesn't everybody, I mean, small businesses, that's kind of, you know.
I guess so.
I mean.
Are you glad you went into business for yourself versus working for someone else?
Yes. Ironically enough, when I was in Phoenix, I was working for a computer repair individual. I was his web and graphic guy. He called me that. That was my title, web and graphic guy. And he fired me.
Oh, good.
That's
how you learn.
Ironically, we were born on the same day about 8 years apart.
Okay.
He fired me because he said I was too much like him and I wasn't going to stick with him for the long term.
So he saw you as a future competitor, or just training you?
Not even a future competitor, just that he knew that I would eventually not want to go on his path, work in his way, be part of his team. He saw something in me that I didn't even really see at myself at the time.
Were you mad at the time?
Kind of. It was an easy job. I could do it. It was work. You know, there's something to be said for clocking in at 9, clocking out at 5, and leaving everything behind, that as an entrepreneur, you don't always have the luxury of doing.
No.
You have to, especially when you have staff, and you got to make sure that they are taken care of more so than you're taken care of. And if they're not taken care of, it doesn't matter if you're taken care of. It's all going to go downhill anyway. So there was a learning curve, and I think that I was just too young to appreciate that at the time.
Right.
And I see his points now, because I honestly don't know if I could work in a structured environment. The thought's been there at times, because I see these job offers float into my inbox for 6 figures for the positions I'm more than qualified for.
You've been ruined now.
And
you'd have a hard time answering.
Absolutely. I was on jury duty for a month for a murder trial.
Oh, no.
And I didn't know how people can work two jobs, because for the first time in my life, I couldn't adjust hats on the fly. I couldn't be John Perry, Imaginary Friends, John Perry, Print Zoom, John Perry, the Reach Architect, John Perry, Real Estate Person. I had to be juror number 8 for 8 hours
and
a day.
And forget about
and,
all of it.
And then briefly go into work beforehand and be John Perry, Imaginary Friends, run to the office at lunch for 30 minutes to be John Perry, Print Zoom, and then at the end of the day, come back and be John Perry and work a 12, 15-hour day in piecemeal. So I have great respect for those people who work 2-3 jobs, because I don't know how they do it, whereas I can work 2 jobs as long as it's concurrent. And I can wear the swap hats.
Multiple personality disorder.
Exactly, very much so. ADHD. What? No.
I'm like, well, we'll just channel it.
Who, me? No.
So it worked out being the right thing. Did you ever contact that guy that fired you again? You ever talk to him, or are you just done with him?
I look him up online every now and then to see if he's still in business. I should probably reach out and thank him at some point. It's Christmas time. Maybe I'll reach out to the Peanut Patch and send him a gift basket.
Say, look, I went a different direction. I'm nothing like you, so thank you for getting rid of me.
Yeah.
You
know? Something like that.
Yeah, I'm more successful. Yeah.
I say the peanut patch, wait till after Christmas to reach out there. They're slammed right
now. I know
now.
They're slammed.
Oh, my goodness. I was in there this week, and it was crazy.
How many people you have working for you now?
Right now, we have 4 and an intern.
Okay. And that's a good one for you right now? That's where you want to be?
No. I envision a staff of 9.
Okay.
For everything that we wish to do. That is my, like, dream board workflow chart. And I believe that we can get there. We just got to find the right, not just the right skills, the right culture fit. And I think that, again, people are not necessarily interchangeable because of skills. They got to fit within the culture of the office. And if you've ever been in my office, it's a very distinctively different culture than most in Yuma. Again, it's a creatively driven culture, and the art around my office is very indicative of that.
I'm very familiar. That's the first thing. Have you been to his office, Ross?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, see, that's the first thing. I mean, fortunately, my first visit, he gave me the whole tour, so I got to go like into his office and yeah, I loved that. I was like, I'm like, I want to work here. Just I don't have.
I drive by all the time. I wave because you're right on 24, so I waved. You know, you maybe not notice.
We'll just stop by sometime after work because, you know, we open up pretty much sometime after your shop. You know, because we don't open till 10.
Till 10?
Till 10.
Yeah.
Well, these are
creatives. You know, they sleep in a little bit.
These are creative people. And
what time do you actually go home then?
The office closes at 5. I sometimes don't go home till, as you know, like 7, 8.
I would say I get emails from him at all hours.
So, and then I have a home office too. So,
yeah.
I could beat on the door or something, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, just
although our latest project, I could tell it was staff. It was great. Don't get me, because the emails were coming in during business hours.
Yes.
So that was the difference. Not the work was not different. The hours that I got the emails
were
different.
We're working on actually, you know, managing expectations and customer experience. And
awesome.
That's part of it.
Okay. Well, with that, apparently we have to take another break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
You're who you always were.
She was screaming and crying. I've never seen her like that in my life.
You're who you've always been.
So we ended up calling the doctor, and he said, this isn't just an ear infection.
You always had it in you.
This is our daughter, and we didn't know how to help her.
To fight monsters and win.
Every day, thousands of kids like Gwen enter a Children's Miracle Network hospital. And for many of them, they're fighting for their lives. Children's hospitals are underfunded, which is why these hospitals rely on community support. 100% of contributions made at helpkidstoday.org go to your local member children's hospital so they can spend it on their most urgent needs.
It's life-changing for a kid like Gwen.
We can't change their diagnosis, but together, we're changing their future. For ways to help, visit us at helpkidstoday.org. Helpkidstoday.org.
This hour is brought to you by Hospice of Yuma, the Yuma community's only nonprofit hospice care. To receive the best hospice care, call 343-2222. Hospice of Yuma, there is a difference.
It might be hard to imagine, but there's a place where you can find a restaurant on every corner. A place where you can eat like a king for as little as a dollar. It might be hard to imagine, but this is the same place where the school lunches aren't just delicious, they're themed, with palate pleasers like Mozzarella Stick Mondays, Taco Tuesdays, and French Fridays. Heck, even pizza counts as a vegetable here. This is a place where the fast food just keeps getting faster. You can even order delivery right from your video game console. And how's the food, you ask? Well, it is to die for. Don't believe us? Just ask the friends and family of the 300,000 who did last year. Welcome to the state of America. Welcome to Obesity USA. Population 115 million and getting bigger by the day. To learn more, go to visitobesity.org. That's visitobecity.org. Brought to you by the Pennington Biomedical Research Foundation.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, we have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
Morning.
Yeah, they can't see the thumbs up, you know.
Kind of figured that out. We do have cameras in here, but they're not on.
Yeah. So, and then we have John Perry with Imaginary Friends and Print Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, we can't see his imaginary friends either.
No.
So I'm curious. I mean, I know where imaginary friends came from, the name, but but a lot of people may not know. That's, I mean, it's a cool name.
Which story do you want? The real one or the one that I spin and sounds really good to the public?
I'm looking for real. I want the real one.
Yeah, I like the real one.
So I briefly mentioned earlier, I was in the hospital for 2 months in 2001. And I had a botched appendectomy that Dr. Peter Chung ended up saving my life here. Mm-hmm. And after I got out of the hospital, I was freelancing beforehand because, again, in Phoenix because of dot-com bust.
Right.
So 2 months in the hospital, let's just say my clients were understanding yet perturbed that their work was no longer getting done as a freelance artist. It's not like I had a backup in place. So yet this was still at the time where technology had progressed. Our phones had text messaging. There was laptops that could have been that were powerful enough to do the work. This isn't necessarily a big secret. Yeah, I'm surprised by most people don't know. I used to be a traveling competitive swing dancer. And while being a traveling competitive swing dancer, you'd be surprised.
I wish everybody could see Russ's face in here right now. Mm-hmm.
It's very entertaining.
Yeah.
His eyes got the size of saucers. Like, what the? you'd be surprised how many creatives are also swing dancers, graphic designers, web designers, and whatnot. I actually had a minor network of people I could have called upon to complete the jobs had I had thought about it enough, you know, before I was induced with drugs for a month, you know, asleep. So
legal drugs.
Legal drugs.
Okay.
Absolutely. Phenergan and Demerol.
That's right. Yeah.
So I could have done that had I thought about it. And so after I got out, I did make connections should something happen to me again to hand off work and to have an overlapping of work with my network of imaginary friends, clients, people that my clients would never see. Yet it was a backup because I know I wasn't in a place because, again, I was scared of training my competition of hiring somebody local as an employee. So I created this backup network that I called my imaginary friends. I also wanted to have a very unique name for a company. I didn't want to, you know, it's very common in New York and elsewhere to have like the founder's name of a company, of a marketing agency or design agency on the building. I wanted to do something a little bit different. I wanted to create an asset that maybe somewhere down the line that should I take a step back, I could sell. It's easier to sell a company that my name is not attached to than it is to sell my, you know, because then people are still going to come up and be like, I want to speak with John. You know, my first business line was my cell phone number. Eventually, when I went in for cancer, we made it a more of a landline so that the office could pick it up when I was out for a bit. And people are still calling years later asking for John, thinking it's my cell phone number. You know, and it's been 7 years now.
That's funny.
So it's one of those things where if your name's on the company, people want to talk to you.
Right.
Yep.
So I'm curious, so kind of bring it back full circle. So are you going to do the internship thing again this summer?
I would love to do the internship if there's a couple of candidates that make sense. I would love to do it with Steady. I know COFA has a graphic design program. I'd be curious to see if somebody's interested from them. We have a person who's going through the steps right now for Arizona at Work to do an internship with us through the Arizona at Work program.
Yeah, okay.
She just graduated from college. And so we'd like to see if this is something that works well for her as well. So we're open to multiple ideas and ways of doing it. The main thing is helping people get skills in a real world job setting because academics is not real world. The standard questions I ask during my interviews with designers, most of them can't answer. I've had, out of all the Steady interns, I've asked them all to do a little bit of work to show me what they can do.
Right.
I asked them to turn on the computer. Only one's been able to turn it on, and only the one other one was smart enough to ask me immediately, how do I turn this on? Because it's not a cookie cutter Apple box. It's not a standard Dell desktop. So they have to understand what the power symbol is and then locate it on the box.
Really?
To turn on. Yes, I had a couple people take about 15 minutes to 20 minutes. They asked other staff members, and I already warned the staff not to tell them where the power buttons are on these boxes. Because, again, problem solving is something that is necessary.
Now I got to go in there and figure it out.
I know. That's next time I'm in, I'm like, John, I need to see a computer. I want to see if I can figure out. Of course, I know what the power symbol is.
And then I kind of just clued that into you as
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, and I know what the power symbol is anyway, so, but.
But.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. And so I'm just, you know, so there's certain aspects of it where, you know, So great, you can use a computer, but you don't know how to use a computer. You can use a software on a computer, but you don't know, you're not computer technologically savvy enough to understand how to manipulate systems. The software is a similar on a Mac or on a PC itself. Mm-hmm. The main thing, though, is there's certain interface and nuances to a Mac that people who gravitate towards that can use. There's people things on a PC that people gravitate towards, too.
Right.
So I like to have the environment. I have Macs. I have PCs. Mm-hmm. We have boxes that we can turn into Linux boxes if we need to. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I can produce the tools to help get them to understand what it is that we need and then understand the theories and the pillars behind the design work that we do and why it's important to have a logo that's a vector-based item and not create it in Photoshop as a raster image that'll pixelate when it gets larger.
Right.
Why having something that would look good in one color as well as full color makes sense.
Right.
And those kind of theories and principles. Things that, again, they may have mentioned in school, but they don't hammer. Yet in the real world, if these foundations aren't laid correctly, they're mm-hmm. going to crack when real work is mounted on top of it.
Like, I'm just thinking back to like all the different things that, because I had to learn graphic, some basic graphic sure. design. Okay. Basic.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was a one man shop and we didn't have a big budget and yep. I had to, and I'm thinking of all of, and so that's one of the things that I learned early on. And that's kind of think why the embroidery thing comes into my head mm-hmm. is because I wanted something intricate. And then I had a friend who was doing our shirts and she went, I can't turn that into, she's like, you're going to have to scale that down if you want it on a shirt.
Or screen print it.
And then I'm kind of learning that same thing now as I'm trying to do single color for screen printing.
Yes.
And looking at logos going, yeah, that's not going to lend itself well. But it's trial and error. Whereas if I'd have been like an intern and had somebody to show me, yeah, that's not going to work.
It's an understanding of the principles behind what makes it work and what doesn't make it work.
So do the interns come in with a steady program? When you have interns?
Yes.
Does the high school have a program to put them in there, or is that coming from other jobs?
No, that's me working with the high school.
With the high school.
And like I've gone in and spoken to their classes a couple of times over the years, and they've talked to I've talked with them and students have talked with them. One young lady, Isabel, came in. I spoke with her class last year, and she came in and she was on it, and she wanted to talk with me right after I spoke, and then she talked with her parents, and her parents talked with them, and then we got it, and so she came on shortly before the end of the school year last year.
I like somebody knows what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. And she's now up at U of A working on design.
You need to kick John out because we're getting ready.
I need to kick John out, but I'm having fun with John. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Is your prostate secretly being destroyed without you knowing it? All the ads for these prostate pills, like Super Beta Prostate, Saw Palmetto, Prostastream, Prostagenics, and others, want to know which pills work and which are garbage? Now you can. Get a free copy of the new guide, Prostate Secrets, that pulls back the curtain on the prostate pill industry. Learn what is really in these pills. Which pill has over 987 adverse event reports filed against it with the FDA? It's shocking. Learn the one food to avoid that is a prostate killer. And discover the three so-called health foods that destroy your prostate. Get your free copy at prostatesecrets.com. That's prostatesecrets.com. This free guide will show you how to end your prostate problems without drugs or surgery, 5 important things to do to protect your prostate, and much more. Warning, this guide is controversial and may be offensive to some readers as it pulls no punches. So go to prostatesecrets.com, prostatesecrets.com, that's prostatesecrets.com.
They say your network is your net worth. Back in 1 minute with your politics question of the day.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this?
low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
A Media Research Business report has found that hedge fund magnate George Soros has connections to 253 global media organizations. The report found that the vast scope of those connections affords Soros the power to influence global public opinion. Media Research Center's Joseph Vasquez said the far-left-leaning billionaire is using his connections, which were established through multi-million-dollar efforts, to promote his open society agenda, which includes Marxist economics, anti-Americanism, and environmental extremism. Question: who do you think is best suited to shape global public opinion? George Soros, Elon Musk, or Jeff Bezos?
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.